The Saints are back in town, 4-4 to start the season. Are we surprised, content, or are we playing above expectation? Let's break it down on Saints or Sinners. Saints or Sinners, episode 13. If you follow St Kilda FC, love the AFL, love fantasy, trivia and a bit of banter, well then stay tuned because this is the podcast for you. Three of our hosts are Saints fans, our fourth is not. He's a coach that brings us back to reality and we can't wait to hear his thoughts on our game against Freo. So speaking of today's episode, our game against the Fremantle Dockers, we'll discuss our Saint or Sinner of the round, our Lion Cage segment breaking down Ross Lyon's game plan. Find out who's going to be under the microscope in our GT pressure rating. Slide indoors with yours where we track back to what could have been. Fan mail from our Instagram, which is at Saints or Sinners Pod, as well as announcing our winner of our double pass to Gumbaya World, who are in fact a junior sponsor and partner to the St Kilda Football Club. We're working on getting them to sponsor us. AFL fantasy tips, and finally, a preview of our game against the Carlton Blues in Spud's game. To keep the podcast moving and to stop it from being stagnant, every 3 or 4 minutes we break up the podcast with a trivia question. So when you hear this siren sound, that's when we pause to ask you at home a St Kilda related question. So play along, have some fun, and if you enjoy what you hear and want to hear us weekly, you can follow us on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts, and we'd also love if you take just 5 seconds to hit that 5-star rating. All right, now a podcast is nothing without a panel, and we have a good mix of talent here for you today. So can we please cue the music? Introducing first, a man who has spent 35 plus years watching St Kilda games, which equates to over 700 games of watching the Saints. He's no stranger to flames and fire, leading the kitchen crew through many 5-star restaurants across Melbourne, Sydney and Sri Lanka. Now working as a head chef of a restaurant in Brighton, it is our head chef, Yoz.
Oh, thank you. It's been a few down weeks out here in Moorabbin, but we got the win on a Friday night. We had a debutant who played well and we've had some good feedback, so we're up and about in Moorabbin.
A fantasy fanatic finishing in the top 100, chasing that number one spot in AFL Dream Team. Do you recognise those mini matches or match highlights on the AFL app? Well, this panellist has produced over 1,500 games of match highlights for the AFL himself. It's our fantasy fanatic, St Trenner.
The Dockers gave us 2 goals up until the last quarter, so I was a bit pressed for highlights, but we managed to get there in the end thanks to the Saints' final quarter.
It's our non-St Kilda fan panellist. He was a former AFL Athletes Development Coach, a former VFL head coach, and now the current head coach of the North Ballarat Football Club. Nonetheless, being married to a St Kilda wife and her family has meant he's had to sit through many games of the Saints. It's a man who will bring us back to reality. It's Coach Proc.
Yeah, I haven't sat through many Friday night games in the Saints. Normally it's a Sunday at 1 p.m. So some prime time for the Saints, and they delivered. It's good, isn't it? Well, awesome.
Hosting today is myself, Jules Bolt. I was the former host of AFL Bites on the Footy Live app, looking to bring you some stats and carry out the agenda for today. All right, you know the panel, you know the agenda. Kick back and relax, and let's get straight into the action. For those of you who didn't get a chance to watch the game on the weekend, it was a much more encouraging game for the red, white and black, with the Saints winning at Marvel 94-33 to steady the ship after last week's miserable loss against the Lions. It was a scrappy, low-scoring arm wrestle early, with the Saints applying heavy pressure and playing wide. St Kilda edged ahead thanks to Mitch Owens and some early grunt work from Jack McRae. The Saints were tougher around the ball though, and we kept the Dockers from finding any rhythm. In the second quarter, the game stayed congested, but St Kilda's work at the contest started to shine. Hugo Garcia responded to his tough week by digging in against Caleb Sarong. His second quarter rundown against Bolton in the pocket was a momentum lifter. Frio's only goal came early, and then they lost Hayden Young to a hamstring injury, further derailing their midfield. 27-7 was a halftime score. Wow. Third quarter is where it broke open. Cooper Sharman, Super Cooper we call him, lit up Marvel Stadium with 3 goals in the term, including a towering mark and maybe a goal of the year contender. The Saints then piled on 4 unanswered goals for the quarter and completely controlled contested ball. The Saints kept their foot on the gas. Mitch Owens added his 3rd goal. Garcia capped up his redemption game with a classy goal, and the Saints' defense stayed rock solid. Wilkie and Webster patrolled the back half, shutting down any Fremantle momentum. Standouts were Cooper Sharman with 4 goals in a big third quarter, as I mentioned. Mitch Owens had 18 disposals and 3 goals. Jack McRae had 38 disposals and 14 clearances. Garcia had 19 disposals, 10 tackles in that goal. And Wilkie, Sir Wilkie, had 14 marks and 8 intercepts. Okay, we got there. Let's talk Saints footy.
I'm happy to jump in early if you want. Like, I know I've got the Lions cage, but it's super impressive for the Saints. Really happy for them. Bit of a shame. Old mate Viking got rubbed out for a bit. It's a bit disappointing, right? But to have Boxall and those young guys come in and play really well was awesome. And Garcia responding as well. Like, it's just a perfect sort of comeback for the Saints, and especially on a Friday night. So, yeah, you know, taking my St Kilda hat off, I reckon you know Saints supporters should be up and about with that win. Like, you know, Freo, they're really poor, really poor. That was a great game for them to roll their sleeves up, get it done. They should have won, you know, if they're to be a top eight, at least a top four player. Some people even had them as premiership favourites at one stage, right?
So. David King had them.
Yeah. So, like, you know, it's a great effort from the Saints. And, I tip my hat to the Saints for this Friday night effort. It's amazing.
Well, Yoz, you are wearing the St Kilda jacket proudly tonight as we record this.
I brought out old Rui's training jacket I picked up from the charity store a few years back. And he did actually confirm that on Instagram that it was his jacket.
Someone threw it out.
I rocked up to... Well, there's not much to do out in Bentley, to be honest, but they got a few charity stores. So once in a while, I like to go around each one. And then the lady said, Nick Riewoldt came and dropped off some of his old training gear once he retired. So I grabbed his jacket, his shorts.
Was this the time when the message went around on our chat?
Yeah,
that's true. So and next minute, all the Balthazars are at the shop. And I still have to this day a top from Nick Riewoldt as well. It's brilliant. It's one of those thermal ones. It's so good. Yeah, it's a Nike thermal. It's got a bit of camo on it. It's like black, red, and a little bit of white, but it's fantastic.
I know we like a sale, but we were down to that op shop so quickly. When we heard.
Well, he did because Riewoldt's gear is at the op shop.
And
he did confirm it that it was his on Instagram, so that was good. So I've got that out.
So we're all rolling around.
On special occasions.
Yoz, what did you take from the Saints Freo match?
Well, I don't want to go into the details of because it was a really excellent coaching performance to match like their midfield when obviously we're not up to that level of talent in there. But I want to talk about the combo up forward that was really exciting to see Mitch Owens and Cooper Sharman together. Like, I'm really happy for how Mitch Owens is going this year. Last year, he looked like it was really tough work for him. It looked like he was getting stuck wrestling with bigger opponents. Ball was getting kicked on his head a lot. The entries were pretty, it was a rabble, to be honest. And he looked like he wasn't having a good time. But this year we're seeing he's flying for marks. He took a ripper one-hander. And he set the tone with that awesome, you know he's going to do it, go back with a flight. That's, you never question his day, but set the tone for the match. But also he's bringing out the bow celebration. He looks like he's enjoying his footy and he's kicking some snags. So it's great to see because you know he does all the grunt work. So I'm really happy. I think he's on target to keep the most goals in his career. I think he's snagged 16 already and he's most of 26. So that's good to see. And also, I think we mentioned Port Adelaide match. Cooper Sharman heated up NBA Jam style a bit and we thought he was going to tear a game apart. And for the second half, he did. Like, he's got that ability to float in front of the pack with the hang time. Really good hands. And like we keep saying, once he gets that belief, he's going to be a really good player. And we got to give it to the club. They made the decision that a lot of people in media and some of the fans questioned, letting Membry go, and that's the reason. To make sure Cooper Sharman gets this chance, to make sure Owens get a chance to lead. Obviously, King hasn't worked out, but it was awesome to see. And, like, I loved how, like, he was on fire and the players just kept kicking to him. That, like, Jules, you were there. The crowd was up and about. They were chanting for him. So I just loved seeing that. Like, it was great to see.
I really love your comments about Mitch Owens and the bow. I think that's going to become similar to a Steph Curry night celebration. He only pulls it out when he knows the game is done and dusted, and that could become iconic. There's not many good celebrations in the game at the moment. We've got the bow and arrow from Dersma.
The Hawks boys obviously love to.
The Hawks boys love it. I think that's great when the Saints pull out these sort of fun celebrations and stuff. It's good.
Cooper Sharman pulled out the Ackermanis.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that was... he's not on that level yet, but I didn't mind that.
All right, you know I love my stats, so I'm keeping the theme on the Saints Freo game, okay? So all the questions today are on the game that just went by.
Okay.
So there was something special that happened statistically last game, and that was that someone had 100% CBAs last round. So you don't see that a lot. So
clarify what that is.
Every time they were on the ground, they were in the middle, at the centre bounce attendance.
Yep.
So what player was that?
Jack McRae.
It's got to be McRae, surely.
It was Jack Steele. The captain was in the centre.
Told you Ross is backing him.
Every time.
That is very rare, by the way. I will just point out, it's very rare for a player to get 100% centre bounce.
I couldn't believe it when I saw that. And he had a good 13 tackles, I think. So it obviously works. So good on him for trying to get the best out of the skipper.
Well, that was another bold move by the coaches, wasn't it? They didn't put the tag on. Window, you just rolled around on the wing and they let him go one-on-one. So that was nice to see.
Trenor, what did you see with the game? You
did the match highlights?
I did. I actually, maybe an unpopular opinion here, but I didn't think Fremantle were that bad the way they played. I just don't think they were allowed to play because it was all about Ross Ball. So obviously the Hawks like to call it Hawk Ball, but it was Ross Ball on Friday night. He just strangled them from every facet of the ground, whether it was in the midfield. Every time Brayshaw or Sarong picked up the ball, they were tackled by Steele, Garcia, McRae. And I thought that every time they looked to go forward, there were just the Saints defenders everywhere just flooding the back line. So I actually wasn't surprised at all by the result. I actually felt a little bit sorry for Fremantle because they had absolutely no space and time. So I think it was perfect coaching from Ross Lyon. And I think that, you know, it was a dirty game up until that last quarter where it blew out a little bit thanks to Mitch Owens and Sharman. But other than that, it was just very similar to that Geelong game we saw where we strangled them. So I thought Ross was going to come in with that game plan after being scored on, 100 points?
I was working, so I think people saying, oh, Fremantle were shocking. But I thought, like, we were really good value for that win, you know. Like, they brought the half forwards up to the contest. They squeezed the game in tight. I think the thing that with Freo that people, I guess, they didn't make any adjustments, did they, to try and break it. They kept going that same down the line stuff. Well, that was good for us, so yeah. It's definitely good value.
It's a good game plan. It's very hard to get through that.
Well, I should just hand it over to you, blokes, because you nailed it. I can't believe it. Seriously, I was just going to unpack exactly that, right? The defensive forwards and how important they were for the Saints this weekend and how much they contributed to the team defense. Like Max Hall, I thought Burns, these guys, like our favorites, like they were so important in a sense of what they the pressure they supplied around the contest. But also, what's really, really important is that when they go into the contest, they impact it. Because if you're close to the contest, and obviously that was, you know, the message from Ross, let's roll our high forwards up, let's make sure we've got that help side, which is your offside wing and getting back to help. You have to have your forwards close enough to strike. But at the same time, they can't collapse the field. So once what happens is with coaches, when you're watching in the box, if a forward collapses in and he doesn't impact, as in hit that tackle, the ball pops out to his man and the man takes it straight inside 50 or at least off the shoulder of the contest and finds a mark inside. So I thought that they had the great trust in Steele, Windhager, these guys on supplying that pressure around it. Because they obviously had Steele inside doing the hard work. And then Windhager was playing on the wing, but in a wing through position. So that's when you're like wing v wing. And it was a perfect setup. And from there, they were able to have their half forwards come in and around it and pop into what I call the wizard spot, which is just behind the ruckman. And they couldn't breathe. Like literally, they just suffocated them. And that's why they kept going straight down the line. And it was a brilliant display. And obviously that, you know, it had been a difficult 3 weeks with a lot of high scoring. So clearly they're just like, hey, that's enough. but then the great thing is, like, you know, like you said, they didn't change anything for you. They could have just maybe tried a few different things tactically or maybe moved some players in different areas. But they just sort of just kept going at it. And then eventually the Saints broke them open. And the numbers support that. Like, just a crazy, crazy game for the Saints in a sense, the way they go about it. But they nearly hit that 100 mark with their marks. When as soon as they get that 100, they're always a team that are going to win. So, yeah, full credit to Ross and the guys. I thought the defensive setup was brilliant.
Well, I thought it was interesting. It was normally being pretty reliant on Sinclair and Naz to get that drive, but they weren't that noticeable that week. It was like a complete team effort. Like you said, everything seemed to work what they did. They didn't need that, like, Naz to take, like, so many risks off the half.
No, well, if you look at the numbers, they're so even, right? Yeah. There's so many half forwards having good numbers. Like, half forward getting 15 possessions is fantastic. So you're looking at, like, Wilson, Higgins, Caminiti, I think it's Max Hall, Burns. They're all around the same numbers, which is pretty good. And then their tackles are through the roof as well, like, which is fantastic. So clearly they were just at them. Like, Maxie Hall's had 5. Burns had 5. Like, they're just, you know, just really giving that support around it, which is exactly the role you want them to do. So the only thing I'll add is that Jack McRae dominated the game, 38 possessions, obviously, inside. He hasn't played well for the last 2 or 3 weeks. So I think, mate, he's the man. He's the man.
I'm still waiting for his first goal for the Saints as well.
Has he not kicked the goal?
I've been waiting for that. I think everyone will get around him when he does that. Brock, you talked about the wizard spot, and I know you've come from the Box Hill Hawks. That wasn't about wizard. The wizard spot wasn't named after him, was it?
Nah, because it was there before you got there. But they called
it was Jeff Farmer's spot.
Jeffy behind the ruckman. Basically, all it is, literally, is you have to do wizard things. You, like, get to wave your wand and go, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So who's that player for us? Jack Higgins?
Nah, because he likes to get close to the goal. I reckon, honestly, Max Hall would be that top wizard role. Like, he'd be close enough to the ruckman and, getting to work.
Well, Proc was talking about the dominance and the players and how they shared the stats. I'll talk about some of the team stats that we absolutely dominated Freo in. I mean, the contested ball, we were plus 48 in contested possession, so 151 to 103. But the clearances is where we really stood out, and that's where we failed against the Brisbane Lions. Mm. We couldn't believe it. I saw this flashing up on the scoreboard throughout the game, but 50 to 22 was the clearances, so plus 28 in clearances. Jeez. And then inside 50, 61 to 34 we had, and then 11 plus 11 marks inside 50. So we had 15 marks inside 50 to their four. Fremantle's forward efficiency was 29.4%, which is very, very low. And we've done this a few times now. Obviously, Proc talked about getting just under 100 marks, but we kept Freo to only 286 disposals as a team. That is incredibly low. In fact, only two of their players got over 20 disposals. Their top disposal getter only had 24 touches, which was Luke Ryan in the back line, whereas we had eight players who had over 20 disposals. We had 379 touches as a team. So it just goes to show the dominance. You can actually look at the numbers and see that the Saints are just all over them from start to finish. Even though it was a rough first half, we just completely tore them apart.
Smashed them.
One thing that was pleasing was that Ryan, Luke Ryan, Alex Pearce and Brendan Cox always kill us in that back line. Like, they normally just chip the ball around like crazy. I think the last time they killed us, they all had like 15 marks apiece.
Yeah, Jordan Clark as well.
Yeah. But they couldn't do that this time. Obviously, they've taken a lot of nice intercept marks and they were too big for some of our forwards. But then after that, they were forced to kick down the line. So, yeah, brilliant coaching. What's in the box? He finally debuted after we were talking him up for how many weeks? So how many disposals did Hugh Boxall have on debut?
Oh, he would have. He started really well, but he didn't get
16.
16.
Oh, I got it.
I just rolled the numbers out before I saw him.
He's done his research.
Going through Max Hall and everyone. I'm like, Boxall.
That's okay. It's a two-part question.
Yep.
What jersey number does he wear?
Oh, I know this one.
Oh, do you?
It was a higher number, right? Just under 40, I believe. 38?
38.
Yep. We were looking out for that. You did very well, Hugh Boxall.
We've seen, I've been 35 years, I've seen some average players roll out in the Saints Guernsey.
Yeah.
Mate, the Scotty, that Richo era, we had some.
Hey, that might be a sliding doors. Who's worn 38?
We had some real shockers during that 2014-2020 period. Yeah. But my new man crush is Boxall. He's like, he just looks like a natural midfielder. Like, to get that guy in the mid-40s, like, he looked like when Terrazzo plays at the moment, he looks a bit lost at the moment because he hasn't played much midfield.
Yeah.
But Boxall looked a real natural. He knew what to do. He knew what to tackle. There were some taps there. And I reckon I'm going to call him. He's going to be a 150-game player. And
He
might be better than Trevallier at pick.
Wow. Trevallier's a
defender, though.
But that's a half forward, but they're half back, but they're trying to push him into
He's a midfielder, though. Like, he played all his midfield.
You get a midfielder like that in the mid-40s. You got Garcia at pick 50 last year. That sort of builds your depth because you don't have the really high picks to get the top midfielders. Mm. Getting guys in those sort of areas.
Let's hold the farm here, you both.
He's played one game,
but we've been calling for him for debut for the whole year.
Correct.
And that's the reason. That's why his numbers have been outstanding in the resis. And his tackle numbers are awesome, man. He just knows what to do. There's some players that just know, they look like a year ago. I'm comparing to, I'm going, he looks like he's going to be Andrew Dunkley type player.
Oh!
You wait till Tauru comes and I'll roll out the real prediction.
It's funny you say Andrew Dunkley because I saw an article today saying he's like the next Josh Dunkley.
I meant Josh Dunkley, sorry.
Josh Dunkley. I was going to say, who's Andrew Dunkley? Let's track it back a little bit.
I meant Josh Dunkley. That's what happens when you watched Andrew Dunkley for Sydney.
Can I be honest? I haven't watched much of him at all, right?
I'll
do you a favour. I'll watch and I'll give you a
Yeah, that's right.
Just give it because I like staring at the pot. Boxall.
I'll save your Boxall.
We've been talking him up all preseason, haven't we?
But you're saying he's going to be Dunkley.
He will be that type
of player. Shit, that's a big call. That man is a gun. He just went to Brisbane and changed their team. Yeah. Like,
that's the type of player. Wait till Tauru comes, mate. You'll love my predictions
when he comes. There's that sound. Let's keep the positive vibes moving. Let's do our Saint of Centre of the Round.
Well, I know who your Saint will be.
Who wants to kick us off with our Saint or Centre of the Round? Let's go all Saints, come on.
Go on, who's going to go?
You go, yours.
Okay, I'm going the opposite, actually. I'm going for one of the unheralded heroes of our team. He's been with us for, I think, might have been on the list the longest at the moment. He would have just joined at the end of our successful era under Ross, Jimmy Webster. Like, the only time he gets any press is when he flattened old Jai Simkin in the preseason. Oh, actually, Jai's a bit of a flog, I reckon. I think that was a good deal, that one. But he's been, like, I thought, like, when the match was hot, he was really good. Because this week, Wilkie took the big dog in Tracy, and Webster had that role. So I thought he was good coming off his man, intercepting. We know he's got a good left foot. I thought he drove it off the halfback really well. And he actually got coaches' votes, which is really rare. I had a look. Yes, he grabbed 2 votes from the coaches, so well-deserved. And, like, he's been really solid. He had a few couple of injury seasons. I think COVID, he didn't play at all, and then the following season. But he's brought it back, and he's a lock. He's a typical Ross Lyon foot soldier grunt. Brings that grunt and all that effort. And he's like, been doing really well the last 3 seasons. So that's my saint.
Love it. Trenner. A lot of eyes were on that man, Hugo Garcia, the one we've been talking up all podcast, and he responded in some style. I told you that boy loves a tackle. He finished with double-digit tackles once again. The other thing that I liked is he was on Sarong the whole time. Like, he didn't give him any room to move, any space to breathe. So good on our boy, Hugo Garcia. I think it was capped off by that beautiful goal in the last, and Ross couldn't help but give a cheeky grin. Yeah,
a lovely moment. And you check it out. Make sure you check out the Instagram page for Jules' video. Absolute ripper of that one.
Absolutely. And he got the Rising Star as well, nomination. And
he did.
So good on our boy, Hugo Garcia.
Rising Star, we haven't had that many.
That's the perfect way to respond. I think Rui put it perfectly. He didn't play the victim. He just said, all right, you coach action, I'm going to get on with it. And
Rising Star coming up is going to be. Yeah, all right. I'm going to predict we might have 3 Rising Stars this year. It's going to be, we've got Garcia 1. Boxall is going to get 1 for sure. And either it's going to be, I'm 100% guaranteed, mate. He just looked like he fit.
Yeah.
And then it's either going to be, Taru will get 1 if he plays. I don't know. I'm actually on the borderline with Trevalier.
Okay.
I think those 3 are going to be stars.
That'll be a good sign for the future. Trina talked about Garcia locking down Sarong. Sarong had 15 disposals. Now it's 2025, so I track back into the Stats Insider, and the last time Sarong had less than 15 disposals was round 17 of 2020.
Jeez.
He does not get below 20 often, so to get 15 disposals, that goes to show the great job that the Saints did on the Freo.
That wasn't even a hard tag, to be honest.
Like, no. Strong defensively, and it worked off them well.
Just played man-to-man and let them go to work.
Brock, Sainter, all around.
Well, I'm going Cooper Sharman. I mean, what a game. And for a young guy, that's a breakout game, and that's one that can get you going really well. Hopefully gives him really good confidence that he's the guy now moving forward. He can clearly be the second tool to King. And you know, Owens can continue to bash packs and do what he does. And I think there's going to be a great synergy with those 3 when King gets back. It'll really be a nice mix. You know, you've got that brutal sort of contested, tough, you know, Owens type, and then Sharman can get off the chain and jump and come from the side, and then, you know, Max King can really just be that long down the line threat and connect at the footy as well. So I think that for him to have that game, and when it's all going your way, you know, that's through reward for effort, because he would have obviously done a lot of hard work in the past. So I was really rapt to see him get that.
That's a great call. That's an exciting forward line if all those 3 get going.
Well, that's a credit to them. You got to credit the coaching staff as well and the players. Like, we were wondering what was going to happen with our King. We've seen Sharman. We've seen, obviously, Owens pick up it up this year. Like, I think early on in the first couple of episodes, we did put him under the pump. So he's responded. And also, then you got the smalls. We see, obviously, Higgins is in all-Australian form. Although he didn't kick a huge amount this week. But also, we've seen bits and pieces of Collard. Obviously, that's going to be a work in progress. But he's got that X factor. We haven't seen Butler at all this season. So he's still got to come back in. And then Maxi's made that half-forward defensive role his position. So it's been exciting.
So many Saints of the round to choose from. I mean, McRae had the star. I'll go with Cal Wilkie. He had 24 disposals, huge. 20 kicks, 14 marks, 8 intercepts. And I might have to check this, but I saw a post that said he actually had his first spell this whole season. So he's played 100% game time every game, and he finally came off
in the last 10 seconds. I heard him.
He's got to be one of the only players playing the whole time, every single round.
You boys are eating into all my questions.
Oh, no.
He was interviewed on 3AW, and he said he was spewing that he had to come off in the last 10 seconds. He didn't want to come off.
10 seconds?
It was like the last 15, 20
Yeah, he played
seconds.
97% of the game, so it could have been a minute or so or a couple of minutes. Yeah. Wow, good on him. Shall we do a question? Let's do it. I'm going to press that button.
All right, Jack McRae. Now, Prox already alluded to the disposals he finished for the game. How many disposals did he have in total?
38.
Now, does anyone know how many disposals he had in the last quarter?
Oh, that's a good one.
I know how many contested. He had a huge amount of contested.
14.
He had 16 in the last quarter. And do you know how many fantasy points he had? I think he broke a record for how many fantasy points in a quarter.
No kidding.
For this season.
What do you have?
Anyone? Get adventure, I guess.
70, 80.
66 fantasy points in the last quarter. That is massive. Finished with 139. So,
Wow.
He's back.
A bit of junk time.
Bit of junk time.
25 contested positions.
Oh, he's a star. Sliding doors.
We have to ask what if. Sliding doors with Yoz. Tracking back to what could have been. What have you got for us this week, Yoz?
This is missing sliding doors from our missing podcast. It's actually a good one because it relates to what we did last week, sliding doors. How we did mention that from I think 2014 or 2020, we've only got three players on the list. So we missed out on that elite talent. Obviously, we said the drafting's been really good since then, we feel. But then where have all our players come from? So we give the recruiters a bit of a kick, but what they have done, they have nailed the picks outside the national draft. So that includes your mid-season draft, your pre-season sub picks, and then just your rookie list picks as well. So let's go through a few of them because we've got some. Actually, I've got some of the best players we've got on the list are through that, which is quite amazing. So we'll go. We'll start from the top. We last year picks four in the mid-season draft. Maxi Hall made himself a regular. That was a good one. Then we go to the pre-season sup in 2022. We got Stocker, the Wombat, and Calamanidi is there. I think even Mitch mentioned in one of his interviews that Ross likes to give it to Calamanidi in the meetings and all. But he was serviceable down back, and he's okay up front. So not bad pick for a key position player for that type of pick. Mid-season in 2020 it was, I think, number 20. Pick 20, who was it? The man who starred on the weekend, Cooper Sharman.
Okay.
And he was playing Sandful. He was playing reserves in the Sandful. That was an awesome pick. And in that same preseason, Mason Wood, who has turned out to be an amazing club man and a great pick because he looked like he was on the...
Yeah. I think that's a really good pick up, Mason Wood. Yeah, definitely.
Yep. And then the daddy of them all, Cal Wilkie, a rookie pick in 2018. What an amazing pick. He's played 140 games. Mate, the accountant, to get that sort of pick there. Next, Roe Marshall, pick number 10, 2016 rookie draft.
Rookie draft.
Wow. Not the national draft. And then the year we took Paddy McCartan, pick one in the national draft, who was our number one pick in the rookie, Jack Sinclair.
Okay.
So amazing pick. Okay. The number one pick is not on the list, but the number one
pick.
That's
crazy. He's worth the number one
pick.
Can you
imagine those rookie league? That's amazing drafting. So we've got to, we've had some... We've been hard on them in the national draft.
Jeez, imagine if they nailed their draft properly, the actual real one.
That is a sliding door. That is why it's so frustrating if you nail some of those picks. Not all of them, but some of them. But that's the reality. But like I said, sub picks have been good. And we mentioned he only got 1 year on the list. Well, he was good off the halfback. Like, he's killing it for the Melbourne.
The D's in the Resies this year.
Who is it?
Rack him up. Yeah, me and Bonner.
He had 44 on the weekend.
He just gets it for fun, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he
does. Well, that's good. I thought that was a pretty good sliding door.
Maybe the Saints could, draft mid-season. Oh, gosh. Get him back.
You might have to run that by the St Kilda faithful.
Well, I don't really see. Clint's given some tips for the mid-season draft, but we don't have a pick yet. But it might. The way we do pick them up in these side of things, it might be worth having a pick.
GT pressure rating. So which player will be feeling the pressure this week, maybe when it comes to selection, or not even a player, it could be a team, department, or even Carlton. We don't have to necessarily target the Saints, but who wants to kick us off with our GT pressure rating for this week?
Well, I'll just say that I was a bit disappointed to see Trevally only had zero disposals.
Oh, he didn't get on the ground.
Poor guy didn't get on the ground. No, I'm just joking. I think the pressure will be on the Saints to back it up now. So we've got a big Friday night game coming up against Carlton. Like, to be fair, a lot of people were complaining that the Saints got the prime time spot, but it wasn't really our fault. I mean, we played all right and we scored 94 points. So it was just Fremantle didn't really come to the party, as we said, for obvious reasons. But if we back it up against Carlton, do that same thing, and if we manage to get the win, then I think we'll be really happy with that. So the pressure's on Saints to back it up.
I'm going to go. All right, I'm not even going to do anyone related with St Kilda yet. Who is a pressure on Friday night? TDK.
Of course.
I think that's a great, he's got a huge decision to make. 1.7, you go to the Saints, take the pressure, or you stay 1 million at Carlton, which is still a really good whack. You're going to obviously play in bigger crowds at Carlton. I was so glad we had a good performance. Because Lordo was giving it to us about the whole decision, saying we were a joke. Why would TDK even consider us? Well, that's why you consider us, because we do have a young core coming through. So I think the pressure's on him to have a big game. He's going to be at Carlton. He's going to be at Saints next week. So it'll be really interesting. And he's going up against Rowe, so they'll be really good.
Should we
watch.
Give him a jersey? A spud jersey. Just give him, let's see what he looks like in it. Jersey, so come to the dark side, mate. Just
get one of the boys to swap their jumpers.
Brock, it'll be interesting to see what he does.
Under the GT pressure rating for you? Or?
I think maybe the coaches. Just obviously, it's a good performance to put together that defensive effort and get the half forwards all working well. And you know, it was really well connected. Well, it was a perfect game, actually. St Kilda will come back on that and be like, all right, I think everything worked the way we wanted it. So now you're on a Friday night again, and it's against Carlton, who are coming off a big loss.
Spuds match, big game.
Big game. They'll have Carlton, MCG, be a big crowd. Like, it's another level. You know, Freo, let's be honest, there's 12,000 people there or something. Like, this is going to be proper. So under the heat, can the players stand up? So I think it's on the coaches to make sure they're ready.
I am going to choose a player, even though we had a phenomenal win. So Mateus Filippo is going to come back into the side, hopefully. So I reckon the player that will be feeling the pressure is Lance Collard. Because, in the first three games he played, he kicked two goals, and one goal. But then since then, he had three disposals against the Giants before being subbed off at three-quarter time. He had only eight disposals in that horrible loss against the Bulldogs. He had only six touches against Brisbane, no goals in all of these games. He had six disposals against Freo with a goal where Higgins gave him a little underground handball, so it was a little cheeky goal. I really like him, but I think the only reason he's playing now at this point is because Henry can't get back in the side. But I think with Mateus, and Butler coming in soon, I think Collard might feel the pressure when it comes to the selection. I think so. I don't know.
Just give to Trevelyan the...
Yeah, mate. Yeah, true. Well, Ross did say in his presser that Mateus will understand if he doesn't get chosen, because it's hard to change a winning side. But I
think,
he
didn't put Trevelyan on the ground, so obviously he's like-for-like replacement there. But it's a good one because Collard is the pressure on him. Like, you can see there are moments where you think that he's got that X factor, but like he does, he's a bit like Keeley, needs to build his impact throughout the game, but he is chasing hard. I like that.
Agree. I love his effort, and I hope he stays, but I think he might just be feeling the pressure. Let's do a question and then we'll jump into our fan mail. Well, I had some questions prepared, but you boys have eaten into them with your stats. I was going to ask how many marks Cal Wilkie had Cooper Sharman's final scoreline, but now I'm going to turn to a who am I, okay?
Oh, yes.
So feel free to jump in when you feel like you've got the answer. I was born in Melbourne in 1995. I attended Scotch College, where I was classmates with future teammate Jack Billings. I might share a name with that.
I got it.
Classmate. Oh.
Jack Steele?
No.
Brock is out.
I know it is. I think.
Keep going. Give us another clue.
I began my AFL career as a forward, but later transitioned to a rebounding defender role.
Ah, he's got it.
I've been honoured with back-to-back Trevor Barker Awards.
Jack Sinclair.
Is
he 30?
They were classmates.
Yeah, well, turning 30.
They were the same school, weren't they?
Yep.
And he's really, he's had a far better career than old JB, unfortunately. That sums up draft in there. Well, that's the sliding doors, isn't it?
Let's do some fan mail and then we'll get into fantasy and wrap up the podcast. So we only had a few fan mail DMs this week. I think I archived the story because we had so many responses for our Gun Buyer World promo, which we will be drawing shortly as well. But I've got three to read out here. So one from Turak Cowboy said, if Carlton studies that win from us, how do we alter the game plan to beat them?
You both looking at me.
So all three of us just looked at
Brock. It's a great question.
It is a tough one because obviously they'll look at the blueprints and they'll look at how Brisbane beat us. They'll look at what we did to Freo.
Yeah.
And shut down our ability to do what we did. So
they'll have to put work into McRae. Like, that's what I would do straight away. Like, don't allow him that contested ball. Face him off. Push him in.
Brock's telling Carlton how to beat us. Yeah. What do we do if Carlton know how to do that? How do we stop that?
Oh, sorry.
Carlton coaches, do not listen to this podcast. We don't want to give you the inside knowledge.
Oh, look, I think Ross should flick the magnets a bit. So when the pressure's on, you need to make sure you've got different league speed coming through. So whether players have relationships with like Wanganeen Malira or Sinclair or even, I don't know, I'm just throwing names up here, Max Hall or whoever it is playing in the front half, do some centre bounces and then have a midfielder start in the forward line and then they try and catch the defenders out a little bit. I would spin the magnets a little bit like that with relationships. They can cause some confusion and they can get your mismatch-ups as well. So things like that can make a big difference. That's definitely something that they can try.
More of a Wangani Miller in the middle.
Yeah, I agree. So look, just like when, if it's like just grinding here, okay, well, that's just, you got your relationship, get it done. So, yeah. And the coach doesn't have to call that, the players will be able to do it.
Nice. Yeah. Completely agree. I think one of the reasons that teams don't go on large streaks these days, obviously anyone can beat any team on an off day, but once you win, the coaches review that obviously throughout the week against their opponents, and they're going to say, the Saints did this well, this is what we need to do to win. So we need some plan B if it doesn't work. So
I think that's why, sorry to keep chatting here, that's why Geelong are amazing. Geelong have three different modes that they can go if you actually watch them. They can kick mark the ball. They can just roll their sleeves up and go straight.
So true.
And then they can just go fast because they've got like Bailey Smith. So like they are really,
great point.
I think Geelong is going to be real close this year.
Not against the Saints though.
No, but the Saints beat them, right? But but they've got three modes to go. So
we've got one from Mackenzie here. Saints versus Carlton. Are we good enough to win when we should now?
Such a good one.
I think 50-50. I don't know if we should.
We would be 5-4 if we win this game.
You're not favourites. Carlton's favourites.
No, Carlton should be favourites. I think rightfully so because it's at the MCG. I think they honestly.
It's your home game, isn't it?
It is our home game for Spud's game. But
don't forget, we played the Pies at the MCG last year and won there.
You always play well against Collingwood, though, St Kilda.
Well, we were up and about
that. Yeah, I just don't think we mind the MCG as much as we used to. I think it's okay for us now.
A lot of Carlton fans that I've spoken to have said, oh, you guys will beat us. But I think we're really underestimating how powerful their midfield are.
Carlton, they're coming off a bad loss. They're going to fall up.
Like, I think St Kilda and Carlton fans are trying to see, who's going to say, Saints are not, Carlton's going to beat us. Carlton fans are not, Saints are going to beat us.
That's right. It's probably just a safe face. But no, it is a big midfield they have with Cripps, Chera, Walsh, Hewitt in there. So it's a big test for McRae, Boxhall, Steele. And
well, I think the one is, can they get that run going if they get that out.
Yeah. Well, I think Sinclair and Malira help.
If we win this game as well, I think the excuses will stop because a lot of people, again, just playing devil's advocate, have said, well, we beat Geelong when they didn't have Tom Stewart at Marvel on an off game. We beat Port Adelaide when they were going through a succession plan and Butters just came back. We beat Richmond, who are bottom of the ladder, and we beat Fremantle, who are no good away from home. So we've really yet to have that game where we go, no, the Saints are actually a really good team, Cane Corns. And go 5-4. So
I think it was a bit of both. Like I think, like considering our draw has been pretty tough. So we've done pretty to get to what are we 4-4?
Yeah, 4-4.
That's a good result.
100% take that.
Two more games, and then you'll
two
know.
More games, and
two
we'll
more
know.
Games.
Round
8, 9, 10. That's.
I think it's in.
It's close. It's nearly sorting itself out, but there's still a few
games. Up and down.
One from Zoe from Port Melbourne, and we do touch on this one quite a bit, but what happens when Max King is available? Because obviously Sharman and Owen's doing so well in the forward line.
I'm going to put this out there. Let's not mention Max till at least
I don't think he's going to play this year.
I think he's going to play this year, but I think Russ actually played it really well. He said he's not going to play till later in the season.
Okay.
So he just put it off the agenda, which I think they should do.
Yeah.
Like, they'll be fine. Like, it'll be better with Max in the team. I think you've seen how Dougal been brought back in the team. He's a better fit for Wilkie back there. He's taller. He's a bit more experienced. Yeah. And, like, having that extra tall up.
You just got to make sure you continue same ball movement. Yeah. That's the key. Yeah. And don't change that. And it doesn't matter if he's leading. Well, if he's leading, it's even better.
Well, we just saw, like, when we didn't have Caminiti up there or whoever, some other tall that match where we just refused. What was the match? And we couldn't kick it against the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Because we were scared of Rory Lobb, for God's sake. Yeah. So it was like we were talking about Alex Rance or someone. We didn't want to kick it down there because of Rory Lobb. So at least he's tall, Max.
All right, it is the fun time where we do our first giveaway for the podcast. So thank you very much to Gumbaya World for giving us a free double pass to the theme park. I think up to $150 worth of value it is. And we had, how many entries do you think we had? So I just threw out a story. I didn't even do the cheesy follow the page, tag a friend, none of that nonsense. Just wanted to give a pure giveaway to our faithful. How many entries do you think we had out of our 400 or so followers? 63.
Oh, nice.
63 entries.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's all happening down there, Clint.
It's a great spot.
What are some of the highlights, Clint? Oh,
mate, it's a wild treat for the mums this weekend. Mother's Day coming up. So great if you're a family, young kids. It's a perfect location. You've got swimming. Yep. You've got the animals. You've got the roller coasters. And then you've even got the old school get on the tractor, go for a little drive around, see the. So there's basically four different sections of the park. It's massive. It's honestly, it's the best theme park going around. Obviously, in Victoria by a mile, absolute mile. But if you look at it this way, you think about any of the ones in Queensland, and you know it's on par. Like they've had big investment. They've really jacked it up. It's amazing
place. Jeez, maybe I should have entered with that speech.
Yeah. They've got some good rides as well.
Oh, well, Cal Wilkie actually, and Sharman went on one of the roller coasters. And
they loved it. Tie up with the Saints, so it's good.
Two of the best players last round, so it worked for them.
At the moment, good to get out there. Actually, one of the girls I work with, the restaurants, runs one of the rides. So if you
there you go.
Shout out to Maddie out there at Galway World.
I can tell you now, so they've got the Oasis Springs, right? That's where you get on the tubes and you go down the water slides and all that. You got Oz Adventure. That's where you just got these mad roller coasters, you know, you go upside down, all that jazz. Outback Explorers, that's what I was talking about. Just getting on a few buses, going for a little trip around. And then the wildlife trial. You got the dingoes. Mate, the animals are amazing. It's fantastic. They even put on a milking show. What's the cats?
Get like Max Wobby. All down there.
You all probably don't remember Wobby's World out here.
What, Wobby's World? Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a bit of a step up from Wobby's World. A little bit. No more. Some of our older listeners remember Wobby's World. It was a bit of a sad thing.
No toboggans and that. Come on.
Shall we do it then? You've built it up so much. I think we've got to give this away. So 63, only 63 entrants. So the chances aren't that bad. One in 63 chance. Shall we actually spent the time to put these names into a hat. So I'm going to shuffle these up, trying to make sure that I'm doing this without looking.
Drum roll.
The winner is Cat D.
Congratulations.
We have cheering sound. We don't have cheers. We'll just put a siren. I'll add some claps in later.
A Viking.
Yeah. How exciting is that for Cat D? And hopefully they use it on, if they have kids, let's use that on them. So
don't forget, Cat, when you get there, you got to tag and share, right?
Oh, yes. That's
very important. The media manager will want.
What, Gunby World or Saints or
a bit of both. Podcast and the park.
Gunby World would go, what's that? I've never heard of that.
We'll be collaborating before you know it.
Well done, Kat. That was fantastic. And thank you, everyone, for entering. It was a simple question. It was who wore number 22 for the Saints, which 62 of the entrants said Darcy Wilson, and someone said Farron Ray, which was also correct.
Shout out to Farron Ray.
There will be more giveaways to come. For those who missed out, don't worry. There's more around the corner.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
It's all about the Saints boys in my fantasy this week. There's so many stories to come out of St Kilda. So,
look at how excited he is.
I told you about my horror story last week with Garcia getting the 20 and subbed out, and I had him on my ground. A lot of people traded him out. I think he was the most traded out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and with good reason, because a lot of people didn't think he was going to generate cash, but he did with that 84 that he bounced back with.
Really?
So That's good. Well done. Hugo Garcia, for a rookie or bench player, 84 is very respectable. So I've still got the great Hugo in my team. A lot of people are actually considering a name that a lot of people don't like naming in the fantasy community, and that's Jack Steele. So he averaged 120 about four seasons ago, and he was the number one scorer. And since then, he's had a lot of injuries and a lot of issues, but he scored 113 last round, and he's dropped a lot of cash. So I don't know if I'm game enough to do it, because I've done it in the past, but if you are, Jack Steele is at a very nice price.
Can I jump in?
Yep.
I think he's on the way back.
Nah, I do.
Do you remember I said a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I reckon Ross has backed him. And then you just told me he said he's at every centre bounce.
Yep.
100%. They've clearly just gone to work and gone, listen, Jack, you're our man, you're our guy. Because I reckon it was real crossroads stuff happening. Mm. You know, it would have been just like, hey, mate, this is not up to standard. Like, but they've obviously done something behind the scenes, given him some love or whatever direction he needed and time. And opportunity, like here's your role, just get it done and get building with it, because I can see a shift with Ross and him a little bit.
I
think he's going to come good.
I hope he does. Yeah. I hope he does. Yeah. With that amount of CBAs, he's every chance to lay 10 tackles again like he did on the weekend. Yeah. So
well, you know, with Ross, he backs his plays. Like, that's why I was laughing that so many people dropped Garcia, because Ross isn't going to whack you like that if he doesn't believe in you. So, and you saw the belief this week.
Yeah.
He's right back, stuck in the
middle. Anyway, watch its space. And I'm going to put it out there. I reckon he's going to really.
He could be
good.
A unique pickup. The Saints also have a very green run coming up with fantasy, so he's not a bad pickup. The other thing that's interesting is a lot of people said Jack Steele had a poor season last year, and he still averaged 107. That's a top eight midfield score. So. He gets it through his tackles. They're worth a lot in fantasy.
Yeah, the tackles.
The other one to watch is Rowan Marshall. He's actually lost the most money out of anyone in the comp in fantasy.
He's battling
at the moment, but I still believe he's a top fantasy player, so I will be picking up Marshall in a few weeks.
once DeConin has his bye, I'll be going DeConin to Marshall. But a lot of people are sleeping on Marshall, so watch him. I have a feeling he's got 150, 160 game in him to come. Boxall, as I said, was the most traded in player last week.
Get on him.
He was actually leading the fantasy scores at halftime.
He was Dunkley-esque numbers coming. <They're>
he coming. Had four tackles in the first term. He was on 60 at halftime. Unfortunately, he faded in the second half. He only had 14 points in the second half. But, but yeah, he scored 74. He went up about 40K. He's the man that everyone's bringing in this week. I will talk about one of our favourites, Jack Sinclair. He's really letting me down at the moment. I picked Jack Sinclair over Harry Sheezel, and I'm getting burnt every week. Jack Sinclair got 65, I think, on the week, and that's his lowest score of the year. He hasn't got 65, I think, in about 20, 25 games. And then Sheezel got 134, so I moved down so many ranks because of that. So, Jack Sinclair, if you're listening, we need you to pick it up and get those cheap possessions like you normally do.
Cheap possessions.
How about defending, doing your job and help the team out?
He didn't need to do anything this week because we were so good.
The better Naz gets, unfortunately, the more disposals gets taken away from Sinclair, isn't it?
That's the thing. I thought the ball wasn't down in Freo's forward line a lot, so I thought, okay, maybe. But then Naz scored 100 as he normally does, so you can't use that excuse.
All right, we're coming to the end of our podcast. Let's quickly go around the panel and give our tip and little brief description about how we think Saints Carlton's going to go. So it's this Friday night against the Blues at the MCG for Spuds game. Yoss, we'll start with you.
I need to hear everyone else's opinion. Okay, you want to wait for us? I'm on the bench with this one.
Brock, do you want to kick us off? Does anyone want to kick us off?
I mean, the Saints are so unpredictable. I'll probably pick them, they'll lose.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Clint going to talk us through some of Carlton's strengths here. So
I think Carlton's strengths are so obvious to everyone, isn't it? It's in the midfield. Their contest is so important, and it's almost it's a big issue with them is that they don't get enough decent ball movement from finder marks and transition footy. So they're just contest based, and they go forward. They rely on Cripps, Chera, Hewitt, all those big boys to go to work, Walsh. and then take it into Charlie and co, and then just keep it in there. And they are all about field position, so they just want move the ball straight, take it in long, keep it in there, and then get repeat 50. So where it comes out and they keep it there, Wiedering marks it and it goes back in. That's exactly how Carlton want to play. So, you know, the Saints will want a transition game. They want their 100 marks. If they can do that and get their run going with Sinclair and Nzaia, then I think the Saints will have a field day. They'll run off those guys, Fogarty, really easy. They're not really fast, powerful forwards, and I think that your speed can really hurt them. But where I said it is you've got to move the magnets a bit and be really aggressive and challenge Cripps, challenge Chera, all those big bodies to move out of the midfield. If you go to work on them, wrestle, contest, I think Carlton will get on top eventually and it'll be a really difficult day. And especially gets night, gets dewy. And a bit wet, and you know, it can be like that. Where I would break it open with a bit more speed around stoppages and try and explode a little bit. So,
what do you reckon the crowd will be?
60,000, what do you reckon?
Yeah, we definitely need the Saints fans to get out there because every time we play the Blues, whether it's our home game or theirs, they just outnumber us in terms of attendance and noise. And it's very obvious. Yeah, so, Saints fans,
Spuds
get down
match,
there.
Our home game. Got a Spuds jumper there.
Yeah, come on, let's go, Saints. But yeah, and with all that, I'm going the Saints.
Oh, love it, Proc. Yep. Trina.
Yeah, Prox talked about the midfield. I think if we can nullify Kerno and Mackay, that's a really good step, and that'll be massive because I think Prox's right. If we can quell their influence, then our halfback should have a field down the other forwards that they've got. So I'm tipping the Saints as well. I'm just hoping that we get on top of the midfield like we did against Fremantle rather than Brisbane or Bulldogs who absolutely dominated us. And from what I saw last week with Steele, Garcia, Boxall, McRae, I think we can do it. So I'm going to tip the Saints.
Just a quick question for Clint. We saw with their game plan this week against Freo, bringing all those forwards up. Can they do that on the MCG bigger ground? Is that harder to do? Or they're going to try it, obviously.
A little bit harder. But the conditions might suit. Like I said, because of night time, it actually dews up a bit. So it might be a fraction more slippery. And that's better for obviously when you're bringing your forwards up. But I think the Saints just need to come with that heat, though. When the Saints play with a chip on their shoulder and their contest and pressure is up, they are really hard to stop and the momentum goes. And I've been following the Saints for long enough now, as in I don't barrack for them, but I follow them because I'm always there watching them.
Have to clarify that.
And and it's one of the most unique things ever, but you know when the Saints are on.
Yeah.
Straight away. I'm sure I'm talking to Saints supporters and I'm
just
not
took
one.
Took the words from my mouth.
But I know. I'm like, I always sit there with you and go, oh, they're off.
Yes. Yeah.
But when I watch the game straight away, I'm like, oh, Saints are on.
Yeah,
they're on.
Absolutely.
So it's so weird that Is that a supporter thing? Oh, so maybe I'm a supporter. Is it a supporter thing? I'm not saying I'm a supporter, but I'm a follower. But I know when the Saints are on or not.
Well,
so.
To be fair, we did start the Bulldogs game 25-1, well, 8, wasn't it? And it all did fell you? Apart.
That's probably the only exception.
I'll probably miss that game. I don't know.
But they're, I think since the Adelaide game, they've been straight in their starts. Yeah, they've been starting reasonably well.
Yeah.
Yoz, you've heard. Oh, do you want me to go?
Yeah, you go.
I think Carlton should win this game, being at the MCG, coming off a loss against Adelaide, who are a very good side. But they did pull up a bit properly. I saw that Walsh, Sard and Haynes all picked up little niggles throughout the games, and we are looking quite fresh. So, as Proc said, hopefully we're just on, we apply the pressure, but a very big task to stop Kurnow and Mackay. But I've started to notice a trend there where we get dominated by teams that can transition the ball really well. Like Bulldogs, their pace killed us. The Giants, their pace absolutely killed us. Brisbane were very good like that as well. So if Carlton want to play that fast game through the middle, which they are capable of doing, I think they do beat us. But if we nullify that and we control it and turn it into our slow marking style game and we play it on our terms, then yeah, we definitely could walk away at the 4 points. I'll be definitely supporting the Saints, but not surprised if Carlton get the wins.
Oh, you go on the fence.
Yeah. So that is the way of tipping both Saints. People, isn't it? I always tip the Saints, but I will say Carlton. I'll go Carlton.
Oh, you're going Carlton. Okay.
I'll go Carlton.
No. Okay.
Yours.
I think we're getting Carlton at the right time in that they do have the two big twin towers back, but we also have Dougal back, so we got the matchup all right with them. MCG, a bold call here. I reckon MCG, we need to get Henry in because he'll light it up on a Friday night. And that's the type of match we need him. Yeah. Well, Murray played really well against Collingwood.
Yeah, I like
it. I reckon I'll go the Saints. I'll give back him in Brad Spud's game. And I reckon I'm going to make the prediction that Naz is going to add a couple of 200K to his contract call and be best on ground.
Can I add this in? Like last week, you both tipped. And you were all so confident. And I was in shock. Absolutely.
No, I was very confident.
I was like, Frio. Surely Frio win. I'm like, they have to because they're going to be a top team now. They clearly they've got some work to do. But tonight, you're all half-hearted on the fence. What's going on? Like, you should win this game on the numbers.
That's why we're half-hearted, the matches that we should win.
All right, that brings us to the end of Saints or Sinners. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, we just talked about it. This Friday night is Spud's game at the MCG. It's the Saints take on the Blues. It's more than just a match. It's a night that means something. So grab your tickets, rally your mates, and get down to the G for an unforgettable evening under the lights. Make sure you're following us on Spotify so you never miss an episode, and keep up with all the latest updates by following Saints or Sinners Pod on Instagram. We'll catch you next time. Until then, take care of yourselves and make sure you support the Saints.
Marching in. I win the Saints go marching in. Marching in. Yes, I won.